You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Wow, I'm all stutters this morning. I'm joined by Graham Chappell. He is a writer for SB Nation. He writes for Peachtree Hoops, covers a lot of the Atlanta Hawks. My name is Colt Molesky, and we are going to be talking about storylines from last year, specifically everything crazy and wild that happened from last year. It's the end of August. We still got a ways to go before we hit preseason basketball even. So we're gonna have some fun and talk about some funky topics, and we're going to talk about those funky storylines. We have a top three going into this of the crazy storylines that happened last year. Before we get to all that, Graham, thanks so much for joining the show again.
No, thanks very much for having me, man. Really appreciate it. It's we're getting close, aren't we? But we're still trapped in August.
You can see the finish line, but we still got some running to do, is the way to look at it.
What is it? Is it 50 days or so before we get some action? Oh, man.
We got a ways to go, but we're in the home stretch. And so with the home stretch, we're gonna broach some different topics. And the premise of today's show is just ranking the crazy stuff that happened. Obviously, there was quite a bit if you're talking about the Markel Fultz situation, the whole Brian Colangelo Twitter account. You have J.R. Smith throwing soup at other people. All kinds of crazy NBA stories. And I wanted to start off. We're going to go through our top three. I wanted to start off with your third pick, your third round draft pick. What would that be, Graham?
One of the weird ones for me was the whole. It was kind of maybe not as headlined as such, but one of the nobody likes John Wall kind of thing that kind of was happening last year. So John Wall goes down, and the Wizards have to find a way to survive in his absence. They win a few games, and this whole everybody eats thing came up. I think it was Bradley Beal, I think, had that quote. And then everyone started going on from there. Like, what does it all mean? Do they like John Wall? And then you had Marcin Gortat, who was a great team victory tweet after one of the games, which John Wall didn't like. Nice LOL after that. And then at the end, and Gortat gets the most spoon-fed baskets ever. So that was interesting. I thought that was and then you had later more John Wall talk. I don't know if you met the altercation with JJ Barea when he called Barea a midget, and then Barea clapped back with this quote: "Now I have somebody in the NBA that I don't like. That's my first. I don't like him now at all, but I don't think his teammates like him either. So it's nothing new for him."
Oh man, yeah.
So. A low key number three for a bit. Nobody likes John Wall. Yeah, it's a solid one for me.
Has there ever been? I know that obviously superstars and teams haven't always gotten along, but has there ever been such a drastic split between a team and a superstar the caliber of John Wall? I mean, they're paying him so much money for the next few years, and to have there be such a drastic split between a couple of players on that roster and John Wall, it's so bizarre.
It just seems like he doesn't get on with a lot of people. Like, I don't know what it is about him, if
just
it's a locker room
thing, or
but it's a good thing that Dwight Howard's in DC next year. That'll be a great relationship. Can't wait to see how that unfolds.
Thank God that'll smooth everything out.
Yeah, nothing brings a locker room together than John Wall and Dwight Howard. So, storylines coming out of the Washington Wizards locker room should be fun. I cannot wait.
Well, there was tons of stuff that happened. It was just a weird NBA year, so it was hard to narrow it down to three. I wanted to go all the way back to preseason and getting ready for last year, though. Bobby Portis punching Mirotić in the face and breaking his jaw, to the point where he's missing games, only gets that baby little suspension, and then they just move on and they're fine with it. And they played a lot of games together before Mirotić went to the Pelicans. But the fact that they got into such a fight that he punched him in the face with enough violence to break his jaw and cause him to miss a considerable amount of basketball games at the beginning of the season, and then they were okay with that for like 2 months before Mirotić got traded, was a very funky locker room situation for a young Bulls team that needed some kind of cohesion between two guys who have been around for a while.
It was a weird, weird dynamic where you had, was it 8 games they slapped him with suspension-wise in the end?
No, it was like 3 or 4.
Oh, like the bottom line is he should have been out so much, he should have been out longer or at the same amount of time as it took for Mirotić to recover. It was bonkers. We talk about the Wizards locker room and a dysfunction there, but to get to a point where you're literally all out, throw one at someone. But there were some reports that was a sucker punch as well, which is just great.
Yeah, that's good for team morale.
It's excellent. Absolutely wild. And then they handled it very, very well in typical Chicago fashion. It was all very smoothly and with great reception. So what a great way to start a season.
Oh, and correction, you were correct. It was 8 games, but that's still... Mirotić was out for, what was it, 3 weeks, I believe, and 8 games.
More than 8 games.
not very long. What was your second weird NBA storyline?
I had this at 1 for a sec, but I'm moving it down to 2. But it's the Rockets Clippers locker room shenanigans. So January, very chippy game between the Clippers and the Rockets. You had Mike D'Antoni saying expletives to Blake Griffin, who was still there at the time. You had Austin Rivers getting into it. And some typical on-court chatter. Oh, that's fine. But then when the reports came through, post-game out from Woj about... of course, Twitter being NBA Twitter, just blew it up out of proportion. So according to NBA Twitter, like they snuck in a secret passage to the locker, to the Clippers locker room, which is really just a backdoor entrance. And how they had a guy, they initially thought it was Capella, it was Tarik Black in the end, opened basically at the front door, asked, I don't know, it was, the more and more information that came out about that, no, it wasn't
the weirder it got.
It was just incredible that, and just how it all unfolded and how Twitter reacted to it. It was such a great NBA Twitter night, but just, that was a very fun night, and just the fact that it could be possible that just they sneak in a secret entrance in Staples and throw down, which never happened, but you know the imaginations ran wild. So that was a very fun night. It was you could say a bit of drama, but it was very interesting. I loved it.
I remember watching that game the night with my little brother, who's 14 or was 14 at the time. And my 14-year-old brother said, watching the game, and you have Austin Rivers coming off the bench to try and get into stuff. You have James Harden and Chris Paul and Blake Griffin all fighting. You have Trevor Ariza fighting on the court. Yeah. And I remember my little brother watching that game, and he was saying, you know what, this is not very professional. And that's coming from a 14-year-old boy. That's all 14-year-old boys do is fight with people, in case you haven't met any lately. And that was his take on the game, was this is not very professional.
So a great game itself, and then the aftermath afterwards was just one of the better storyline, little kind of wild storylines from a game in through the season. Definitely a weird one, but very enjoyable.
Well, my second pick, keeping this on brand with the Timberwolves, is the Aaron Aflalo and Nemanja Bjelica fight in a Magic game in the middle of the season, just right around the middle of January, actually. These two players actually fighting and grabbing each other and getting into it about one of the free throw lines for one side of the court. And it stuck out to me in a year of crazy NBA storylines and so many – the Twitter stuff, it has been so covered that I kind of stayed away from some of those. But when you have Kevin Durant and Colangelo making fake Twitter accounts, and who is it? Bledsoe asking to leave his team on Twitter. Expect some guys who are even keeled to stay even keeled. And Nemanja Bjelica is about as bland a basketball player as you can get. And Aaron Aflalo, not really any documented history that I'm aware of him fighting either. And both of these guys get into it for seemingly no reason other than Aflalo just kind of swinging his shoulders a little bit. And Bjelica grabs him and they both start kind of swinging at each other a little bit. It was this crazy situation where it was an average run-of-the-mill Tuesday night, and the last two players you'd expect fighting end up getting into it. It just made the season.
You mentioned the Colangelo Durant Twitter. Don't forget Steve Kerr for getting the old DMs there, tweeting that he's better James Harden. Not Flalo Bielitsa, like, you know, it's not like, yeah, it's not two guys you expect to throw down on a Tuesday.
These are two vanilla NBA players.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Flalo's been in the league for a while. Like, it's, you know, if you're inclined that way on the course, usually it comes out by now. And it's like, if you're someone who's been around as long as Aaron Flalo, so very off color to see it all happen. Not like, again, not like you said, it's not like it was a TNT or a Friday night, like kind of national TV showdown, like Draymond Green or something clapping at some. Like, you know, it's Aaron Flalo and the Matthew Bielitsa. And even in the league still, is the Bielitsa, like, you know, it's funny how just two so, average almost basically players just throw down like that. It was so unexpected. I think everyone was surprised.
It was very strange. It was very strange and comical at the same time to see these two guys. Clearly, they had never fought before. If you look at this, clearly they had never been in a fight before. Hopefully, they never get in one again because it was pretty rough around the edges.
Don't ask that, will they?
We're going to get to a break for some sponsors real quick, and then we're going to get to our final picks for our crazy NBA storylines. First, a break for some sponsors. All right, so we've been discussing with Graham Chappell of Peachtree Hoops the craziest NBA storylines in a year of crazy NBA storylines. I like how we've gone off the beaten path. A lot of people talk about Kawhi and about Markelle Fultz a ton, but our first two picks have been a little off the beaten path. We haven't talked about any Twitter stories, haven't talked about any of those main stories, although those are probably the headliners for the crazy stories. And I'm very interested to hear, what is your number one crazy storyline for this past NBA season in a year where crazy storylines were kind of run of the mill by the end of the year?
Yeah, some of them were pretty wacky, but I'm going to have to go on I'm afraid I'm going to have to go on the beaten path and with this Kawhi Leonard stuff, because it is just it was just so unusual. And now that it's we can kind of talk about it, because it has come full circle, basically. Like, or I'm sure more details will be revealed as kind of seasons go on, but in its short cycle, it's gone full circle. Kawhi Leonard no longer part of the San Antonio Spurs organization. And I think just that in itself is wild. Just everything that happened, you associate, you know, there's very, a league that changes a lot. And, you know, I know there's that, I don't know if you've seen it do the rounds, that image on Twitter, like that, I think it's the 2016 All-Star game. Like, basically, almost half of that team has changed.
Yeah.
Like, everything's, like, it's a league where everything changes. And the San Antonio Spurs are a model that a lot of NBA teams follow for stability and continuity. Just everything about this Kawhi Leonard thing was just so wrong on so many levels for the Spurs. And it was hard not to kind of bring it as the storyline of the season. He only played, nine games in the end. Back and forth between his management or his uncle, whoever it was in the end, both. And then the Spurs and their doctors and how he was cleared and didn't return. And it was so un-Spurs like, and I think it made everyone think about the Spurs in a different way that I think, you know, universally made everyone uncomfortable. It was such a strange situation. Now that it's come full circle, remember the Toronto Raptors, that's going to be weird in itself. And it's just going to be a very strange situation when Kawhi Leonard comes back to San Antonio next season.
Absolutely. And as far as going on a beaten path, that's one we should probably definitely tread on if we're making this list, just because it is so crazy, and with how storied this franchise is about taking care of their business and about kind of staying away from these kind of things. It's crazy that the Spurs of all teams are the one that had this saga play out throughout the entire season. Also, I think honorable mention, I think you'd agree with me here, Markelle Fultz changing his shot. One of those beaten path stories there. It's just, it's so insane that a number one pick changes their shot in the summer without any kind of prompt from the GM or from the owner or from a coach, just saying, oh, you know what, I think I should change my shot after playing so well to earn and garner the number one pick status. Also, Kevin Durant forgetting how to log out of a Twitter account to make sure he's on the burner account before tweeting. Brian Colangelo attacking players and media via rant. I'm going to take a left turn on all that stuff, though. my favorite thing that I read about and wondered about and thought about, and that, frankly, I haven't stopped thinking about since March, is J.R. Smith throwing a bowl of soup at Damian Jones, the assistant coach. This is such a great story for so many reasons. First of all, J.R. Smith, if you know anything about basketball, you know this guy is absolutely insane. There's a playoff series where he's reportedly drunk on Hennessy throughout the entire 2013 a playoff series, one of the early rounds in the playoffs. You have all the drunk driving charges. You have all the crazy stuff going on with him in strip clubs. And then you have this story. So many questions arise. First of all, why throw soup at anyone? How hot was the soup? Was it in a bowl or a glass bowl, or was it plastic? That could maybe have an impact on how badly Damian Jones was hurt. Why was he only suspended one game for actually attacking a coach? Who gets mad during soup? Soup is a comfort food. Soup is something you relax with. Soup is something that calms you down. It's nice. It's snuggly. You think of warming up with soup and a blanket. How do you even get mad enough to throw soup when you're eating soup is my next question. So many inquiries. If I had an interview with J.R. Smith, this would definitely be one of the things at the top of the list I would ask him about. It's insane. It's weird. It's out of the norm. So out of the norm, and yet so well. J.R. Smith is the only player where you can tell me that he threw a bowl of soup at a coach, and I could be filled with disbelief and at the same time think, wow, that is exactly on par for J.R. Smith. And I know I'm rambling a little bit here. Graham, give me your reactions to this number one pick.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's almost like I don't know what to say it to it in the sense, because why? That's the overarching question when it comes to this, is just why? Why did this happen? How did it happen? What was Woj's reaction? Whoever broke the story, what was their reaction when the text came through from the source? Hey, J.R. Smith is for throwing soup. It's like, are they playing with me? Do I tweet this? Like, there's so many elements behind it. Like, I guess, like you say, it's something you relax. Like, if you're sick, you know, have some soup, chicken soup. Brilliant. Love it. Relax. Yeah. Was it in the bowl? If it's in the bowl, how did he actually hit? Did he hit him for a start? Did it miss? Did he make full contact with this? There's so many elements to it. And this comes from a guy, like you said, who's got a history of weird shenanigans. You mentioned some. You can also add the shoelace.
Yeah.
History going off the course while play is going on to give some dap to Jason Terry, but more recently too. Just one of the most ludicrous. The locker room, like the Clippers Rockets locker room stuff, is ludicrous. This takes it to a whole another level. There, I think you said there's so many layers. How did that happen? Why did that happen? Why was he suspended? Yeah, one game for like soup, like in its element, soup is pretty hot. That would cause substantial pain if it made contact, burning.
And if it's in a glass bowl, you got a broken glass. I mean, come on, this should have been more than one game. And it's so strange that when you think about a team that's led by LeBron James, I just assume that it's kind of pretty regimented, don't you think? That LeBron James is running everything to a certain degree where this seems in the realm of impossibility.
It is like enough headlines surround LeBron teams as it is. That is not one of them. But surely, if this soup is being served, surely there's some bread rolls going around. Surely a bread roll would be a much more satisfying thing to throw at someone. Much more contact on the bread roll being thrown at someone than a bowl of soup. Like, a bowl of soup will just squash against someone. Like, I'd say, you might ruin it. Surely you get a bread roll. Like, people get too angry. Throw something harder. That'll make a bit more contact than some liquid soup, you know?
Do you think that a bread roll is less of, it's not a suspension at all?
Oh, it's still a suspension. Like you throw whatever you throw, you're throwing it at a member of staff. We saw how to a much lesser degree, but the Clippers had an incident like this recently where a player, Blake Griffin, had an altercation with a member of staff. Like obviously a lesser scale, but the intention was still to, what, like, there's some sort of intent behind the actual action. So I think you have to, no matter what inanimate object you throw at it, it's a staff employee at the end of the day. Something has to go down.
And if you're sitting next to J.R. Smith, I would love to know your reaction, because I don't know what I would do. It'd probably be somewhere along the lines of me just sitting there in disbelief and like, are you shitting me? Did you just throw a bowl of soup at another person? Like another human being? You just threw a bowl of soup at him. Why are we wasting the soup is the other question that I would ask immediately afterwards. I would love to see the reaction of the people around this situation as well.
Was it ever discovered what kind of soup it was? Are we talking vegetables? Because mushroom soup, I can get behind throwing that away. But chicken soup or vegetable soup, or even, look, I'm not a huge fan of tomato soup, but if a good tomato soup is okay. So I'd love to know what soup we were working with.
If it's broccoli and cheddar, that's over. You should just suspend them for a month. Because that's just a crying shame.
So I think context in every situation is everything. But I think context in terms of what flavor soup it was, I think that's hugely important in this situation.
I like it as well. I like that you really dove down this rabbit hole with me. I really appreciate that. I hope that people appreciate us enjoying talking about J.R. Smith throwing soup this much. Because I tell you what, I've had a blast of a time. Those are our top three crazy storylines from a year filled with crazy NBA storylines. Before we head out here, Graham, anything that you have to plug, do so now. What are you writing these days?
At the moment, I am working on a extensive feature on, not feature, I'm breaking down the game of Hawks rookie Kevin Huerter, who didn't participate in NBA Summer League. Mm-hmm. So people didn't really get a chance to see him. So I'm working on that at the moment. So you can head over to peachtreehoops.com. You should be able to see that in a few days. Season previews coming soon, as I'm sure you're preparing yourself with the Timberwolves. That should be a new season. Yeah, we're finally getting there. So you can follow me on Twitter, @Graham_Chapel. And a lot of busy things happening in the Hawks universe. So, and peachtreehoops.com is the place you need to be if you want to catch up on any of that.
Go check it out. I'm pretty sure that I think it's in the first 2 weeks of the season, 3 weeks of the season, the Timberwolves play the Hawks. So go get prepared right now. Check out some of that stuff. Be ready for the team that they're going to play in a little bit here in the Hawks. Graham, thank you so much for joining the show again. Thank you for indulging me in my crazy headlines that we were chasing all over the place. I appreciate it. Make sure to check out Peachtree Hoops. Make sure to check out Graham on Twitter. Make sure to check out my Twitter account, @Molesky, Molesky, and the LockedOnTimberwolves.com website. Thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast from the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.